This is Hanshin Tigers English News. H10, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that helped Hiroshima set a record for the most walks in a single game, with 26. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is April the 4th, and this is episode 55. Welcome to the show. We will get back to you about that record a little bit later on when we talk about the games in our recap section. In the meantime, episode 55 means we take a little look at number 55 on our team. Currently, Naomasa Yokawa. He is the third baseman. Last year, he won the double crown, not quite the triple crown, on the farm with 14 home runs and 61 RBIs. He was, I think, second or third in batting average, so almost the triple crown from him. Anyways, he plays third base. He is not great defensively, but he does have a great bat. But it seems every time he's been called up to the big squad, he has not managed to make anything of his chances. Last year, he hit two home runs on the big squad and looked lost at the plate the rest of the time, unfortunately. If we look back in history, or we just look back at Yokawa's predecessor as number 55, we've got Jason Stanridge. If you want to look on the website, you can find a full write-up about Stanridge and his life and his career with the Hanshin Tigers. But let me just recap it by saying this. He spent 2 years with the SoftBank Hawks, 2007-2008, before spending a year back in America and then coming to the Tigers in 2010. Spent 4 seasons with Hanshin, and then Hanshin decided at the end of 2013 that we no longer needed his services because we wanted to bolster the bullpen. We picked up Seung-Hwan Oh. We gave Stanridge up to free agency, and he signed right back up with those SoftBank Hawks. Ended up being part of 2 championship teams there, and has now moved on to the Chiba Lotte Marines. 2017 will be his second season with them. So a total of, well, I guess parts of 10 seasons, or this will be his 10th season in NPB. So pretty impressive numbers. Still, his overall numbers are not quite as good as our stud Randy Messenger, but a very solid contributor throughout his career. By the way, his best years were as a member of the Hanshin Tigers. That may partially be because of the pitcher's field that he got to throw at so frequently. Anyways, on today's show, we are going to recap opening weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about the news, and we have got a hot topic for you, so stick around. It's the news. Here we go. This is brought to you by T-Ray, of course, because I am the host of the show and there is no co-host this week. First up, the Koshien High School Baseball Tournament. The spring tournament, the finals took place on Saturday, April 1st, because of a rainout on the 31st of March. It was an all-Osaka affair, with Osaka Tōin going up against Riseisha, and Osaka Tōin used their big bats. They hit 3 solo shots to take a 3-0 lead, which got erased late in the game. It was either the bottom of the 8th or bottom of the 9th. And then, I think it was bottom of the 8th, and then at the top of the 9th, Osaka Tōin took it to them with 5 runs. So I think it was a final of 8-3. Osaka Tōin, which is Shintaro Fujinami's old high school, they are the champions, my friend. So congratulations to all of them, and hopefully that will inspire Shintaro to have a great championship season of his own. Next up, on May the 5th, 6th, and 7th, by the way, H10 will be at the May the 6th game, which is a Saturday. It is Golden Week. They are having a special kids promo at Koshien Stadium. And so they are going to have the scoreboard, the players' names on the scoreboard, all in hiragana. For those of you who do not read Japanese at all, hiragana is the kind of phonetic alphabet. So anybody probably age 6 and older can read it very easily. And also, it's probably easier for foreigners to read, as opposed to the kanji, which, you know, depending on the complexity of the character, you know, could take up until adulthood to be able to read. So that's just a promo that's going on. I think it's kind of a cool one. Other news. Our first round draft pick, Yusuke Oyama, who is playing down on the farm, hit his first career home run on the farm. It was a solo shot. And guess what? It's a phantom home run, because in the fourth inning, this game was called due to rain. Games that don't reach the fifth inning are not official, and so anything that happened up until the fifth gets erased. Any record that may have been broken or any milestone like this is gone. So Oyama is back down to 0 home runs, although he did hit one in gameplay. So good for him. Eric Campbell, our new acquisition, new American acquisition, that is. He has finally taken batting practice down on the farm. It is his first time taking batting practice since experiencing that injury at the end of camp on February the 27th. That was a wrist injury that is similar to tennis elbow. So finally he's up there taking full swings, and apparently he took 35 swings, and 15 of his swings ended up with hits that would have been safe base hits during a regular game. So that's a pretty good, pretty good connection for the most part. That's the way baseball is, right? You know, you're not going to get a hit every time you're up at the dish. So he said he felt good. He said that he is excited to get back, but also there is no timetable yet for his return. Also, Campbell mentioned that he watched the opening games on TV, and he said it was really exciting to see them win the first game, and then the next two, he said, were just tough losses. Pretty much hit it on the head, and we will get to that in just a little bit. Last bit of news. Our sixth round pick, Shungo Fukunaga, pitcher, right now on the farm, he has a 15 inning scoreless streak going. So, I wouldn't say that he is due up on the big squad anytime soon, but it's good to see that one of our late picks is, you know, having some reasonable success on the farm, which is, you know, one step down from the tops. So, you know, hopefully Fukunaga can turn into a real gem of a pickup. You know, anytime you get a sixth round pick that ends up being a contributor to the team, you've got a good thing going. Right, Mr. Kakefu? Right. Recap time. That's right. We played a three-game series in Hiroshima against the Central League defending champion, Carp. And this one started out on March the 31st, right? It was raining during the day. It was looking pretty bad. We were kind of a little bit worried about whether or not we would be able to play this game, because of all the rain and all that sort of stuff. The game was delayed by a half hour. So a 6:30 start instead of a 6 o'clock start. And this one, we were putting Randy Messenger on the mound. They were putting Chris Johnson on the mound. And we got started early. With the bases loaded, Fukudome grounded into a double play, but there were no outs until then. And so a run came in on that. And then the next batter was Fumihito Haraguchi. He hit a double to the left center gap. So 2-0 after one inning. Good for us, who could not score against Chris Johnson to save our lives the previous year. In the bottom of the second, Hiroshima came back with one run, and that was on just a fluky, kind of bloopy hit over first base from their catcher. I think Randy was pretty disappointed to give up that run, but it definitely wasn't his fault. It wasn't a well-hit ball by any means. But 2-1 for the Tigers after two innings. Top of the third, we took it to him hard. The top of our order once again came up and set the table for Itoi. Yoshio Itoi hit a double to left field. That scored two runs. And then that was followed up a couple of outs later, or one out later, a couple of batters later, by Toritani, who also hit one up the middle for another one-run score. So 5-1 after three innings. And then in the fourth inning, we add to the lead. Itoi again, this time he slapped one down the right field line and scored us a run. And then that was followed by a Toritani error. Not his committing an error. He caused an error, or his ground ball caused an error to Kosuke Tanaka, their shortstop. And so we scored another run there. So 7-1. And a couple innings later, our boy Umeno, catcher, came up with two outs and the bases loaded, and he walked. So it was 8-1. Heading into the bottom of the sixth, Messenger was already up to about 100 pitches, but he came in and continued to pitch this one. And he kind of got, you know, hit around a little bit. There was an error involved in this as well. But Abe got an RBI, and then Eldred got an RBI, and then Tanaka kind of atoned for his error, but ironically, he atoned for it by causing or inducing an error from Haraguchi, and that was how they got their third run of the inning. So it's 8-4 after six innings. Then our relievers come in, and in the bottom of the seventh, we give up one run, a solo blast to, yes, Takahiro Arai. Continues to haunt us, torment us, laugh in our faces. And then the next inning, Arai actually did it again. This time, he reached on an error by Mateo, and the result of that play was another run scored. So 8-6 after eight innings. And it's looking like, oh boy, where did that 8-1 lead go? But in the top of the ninth, Kosuke Fukudome slugged one into the right field stands, so 10-6. And that's how this one ended, because Dolis came in and pitched a clean bottom of the ninth. We win. So good job. A couple of comments on this game. First of all, Chris Johnson only lasted 3 2/3 innings, and that would be probably the earliest we ever knocked him out. We got 7 runs against him, only 5 of them earned, mind you, but last season he only allowed 7 earned runs to our team the whole year. So off to a good start against him. Certainly we don't really feel like, oh, we can't hit this guy or he's got our number anymore, I hope. One of the interesting plays was in the third inning, pardon me, in the fifth inning, when Itoi hit his RBI single down the right field line. My view of the replay was that the ball actually bounced foul between first base and or home base and first base. Now, forgive me for not fully knowing the rules, but this is what I believe happened, and it must have been like just some funky spin on the ball. It bounced fair, then it bounced foul, then it came back into fair territory and landed fair and continued out to the outfield. Now, does that count as a fair ball? Is that legit, or should that have been a foul ball? I mean, it was such a hard hit ball that it was really tough for the umpires to be able to see anyways. And because it did bounce back fair, I can see how they would make that mistake. And it was just barely foul when it did, you know, bounce into foul territory. Anyhow, just an interesting play. And if anyone can help me out with that ruling, tell me what the deal is. That would be great. So Randy Bessinger went 5 innings and a little bit. He didn't get any outs in the 6th inning. He picks up his first win of the year, though. And this was also his 200th career appearance in NPB. So good on him. He struck out 8. He allowed 4 runs. 2 of them were earned. So not a bad outing. Not the best outing, but certainly you know, enough to get the win. And, you know, for a team like the Carp, who have a very good offense, I think he did a good job of holding them down. The other thing about Randy Messenger is I read today that he is hoping to start this Thursday. Normally, he would start every Friday on 6 days rest, but he's raring to go. And so it looks like they may bring him up one in the order, and they will push Aoyagi's debut into the Giants series, which is happening this coming weekend. So let's move on to game 2. This was an afternoon game on Saturday, April 1st. April Fools, no fooling. This was a game for the ages. We brought Yuta Iwasada to the mound. They brought Akitake Okada to the mound. And I can't go through every single play that got a guy on base because it would draw out as long as the game did. For the record, the game was a 10-inning affair, and it took 5 hours and 24 minutes, which is just insane for a game that only went 10 innings. So here's how the scoring went down. Itoi in the first inning, top of the first, he hit a sacrifice fly to give us a 1-0 score. Haraguchi, 2 batters later, comes in with an RBI single to center. And then even a couple of batters later, Ryutaro Umeno comes in with another one. This was for 2 runs. And so we get out to a 4-0 lead, which seems like, you know, especially with Iwasada, that's going to be enough to take us through the whole game, right? Wrong. Next inning, Iwasada gets into trouble and gives up a 3-run jack to Yoshihiro Maru. So 4-3 after 1 inning. Well, the Tigers said, we're going to add to that lead then. Fukudome, again, this was not an RBI hit, just like the previous game. He hit a bases-loaded grounder to second. Actually, he probably would have been safe were it not for an incredible play by Ryosuke Kikuchi, their second baseman. But anyways, it ended up being an out, but we scored a run. And then the very next batter, again, this is just with 1 out, so Haraguchi hits a sac fly, and we get another run, so 6-3. Now, with bases loaded and no outs, I was thinking to myself, the minimum you want to get here is 2 runs. And, well, we did it, which is better than last year, so I accept. Let's move on with the scoring. Top of the 5th inning, Iwasada is still on the mound. He gives up another home run. This one was a 2-run blast to Seiya Suzuki, and this was a goner. I mean, he hit it deep. So 6-5 after 5 innings. Top of the 6th, we come back again. This time, Ryutaro Umeno again. Base is juiced, 2 outs, and he hits an infield single to shortstop, and the shortstop threw it away, so we scored 2 runs on the play. So it's 8-5 now after the top of the sixth. But in the bottom of the sixth, they strike back and they strike fear in Tigers fans, getting a couple of runs to pull it to 8-7. The next inning, they bring it to 8-8, and this came on a Kyuji Fujikawa relief appearance, bases loaded walk. Walk. And we'll talk about that in just a second. This one carried all the way out into the bottom of the 10th when they scored the walk-off run. Not on a walk, ironically. They scored it on an infield single, is what they're calling it. It was a great play by Yamato to grab the ball, the ground ball, and he tried to throw it home to get the force out at home. Just to get the out at home to continue keeping people in their agony in this game. But he was a little bit late to get it to home plate. It's not his fault. He made a great play. Anyhow, 9-8 loss for the Tigers. Heartbreaking, you know, especially after having leads of 4-0, 8-5. You know, we just could not close it out. So partly it was the relievers, partly it was the errors. Again, we had, I think it was 4 errors on the day, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 4 errors. By the way, we had 3 errors on Friday as well. But really, the other thing that did us in was the walks. This was a combined effort, though, between Hiroshima and Hanshin. And I really feel like Hiroshima capitalized on Hanshin's free bases more than Hanshin capitalized on the ones that they were given. So 13 for each team during regulation play. And also, there was a hit batsman. That would be Kento Itohara, our 5th-round draft pick, first plate appearance of the year, first pitch he faces, plunk. So anyways, if you include that, it was 27 free passes. Think about that. In a 9-inning game, 27 free passes. That's like one for every 2 outs total. Ridiculous. And then also there was one more in the 10th inning as their reliever Nakazaki walked. I think it was Toritani. So 28 on the game. Now, with NPB, they only have a record for the most walks, combined team walks, in a regulation game, meaning 9 innings. And the record was from way back in, I think, 1937, which would be the second year, I think. I guess the third season, the second year of pro baseball existence. And so this is an 80-something-year-old record. I guess 80 years. 80-year record that we tied. Because we had 26 walks between Hiroshima and us, 13 apiece, after regulation time. So, yeah, this was just just an annoying game to watch. It was very annoying. Just all of the free bases, all of the errors, all of the coming back that Hiroshima did, the way that it ended. I'll tell you, Mateo, gave us all fits. Fujikawa gave us all fits. Dolis committed an error on a pickoff, and then that was followed by another error by Itohara, and that is what led to the game-winning run. So defense and poor pitching killed us. What were we saying in our preview show just a week ago? We said that our pitching was good, but we were worried about the relief pitching. That is what happened. And also we were worried about the defense. That is what did us in. So not a good one by any stretch of the imagination. By the way, both of these games, the first game and the second game, I could not believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's opening day. You know, definitely the most exciting day of spring for pro baseball fans. And the networks here, what do? They end their broadcast right on time. It was a night game, so they would have ended their broadcast at 8:54 p.m. You know, while the game is still in action, while the game is still, you know, the outcome is still not determined. And they say, oh, we're terribly sorry. No, you're not. Shut it. You're not sorry. Okay? Because you're just not, you don't care about baseball fans is what it is. Anyhow, so I had to scramble for a stream of the game. Same thing happened Saturday, but that's understandable because it was a 5.5-hour affair. And also it was probably better to not watch than to watch. And then I think Sunday too, it may have ended, the broadcast may have ended early. Anyways, we'll get to Sunday's game right now. So the third game of the series, we brought Atsushi Nomi to the mound and they brought Aden Kuri, who's a 30-year youngster. Not a great track record yet. And here we go. This one, we did not score in the top of the first, unfortunately. They scored in the bottom of the first. Our boy, Atsushi Nomi, could not get the top of the order out to save his life. And so they scored a couple of runs. The first one was on a Kikuchi hit to left field, which was fumbled by Takayama, or maybe he like kind of fell into the cushioned, the padded wall in left field or something. Anyways, he was not able to field it cleanly, and Tanaka scored from first. And then Maru came through with another hit, so 2-0 after the first inning. It could have been a lot worse. The scoring stayed that way until the top of the first, top of the third, when Yoshio Itoi hit a solo shot. It was a line drive home run. It was beautiful. It was great to see him hit his first home run as a Hanshin Tiger. 2-1 score. But in the bottom of that inning, that lead increased. The chances of Hanshin coming back decreased. Once again, who did it? Takahiro Arai, right? It was a double, scoring 2 runs, 4-1 for them. And then Nomi continued to struggle. And so partway through the fourth inning, he was gone. No more runs were scored then. And not until the seventh inning, when it was, again, the Hiroshima Show. We brought in Suguru Iwazaki, who was the only pitcher on our staff that had not yet pitched in a game. You know, the first two games, our starters went 5 innings each. And so we needed 4 and 5 innings of relief. That's 9 innings of relief. So Suguru Iwazaki was our only real rested arm, and he came in and gave up 5 runs. 2 of them were earned, the rest were unearned. So there was an error by Kosuke Fukudome, and that was the only error that was charged to the team this game. There were a couple of other questionable ones that I would have called errors, like Haraguchi fumbling a soft grounder by their pitcher. I don't know how that wasn't counted as an error. And then what was the other one? I think it was another Takayama play, and I forget exactly what it was. Oh yeah, it was on that first, it was the first run scored where he kind of fell into the wall and fumbled the ball, and they didn't count that as an error either. So, you know, some very poor defense. By the way, this one ended 9-1 for Hiroshima, and it was not a fun one to watch by any means. One more note in this one, in Itoi's next at bat after his home run, he got hit in the elbow, and it didn't hit a very good spot. I mean, it didn't hit a bone. But apparently the bruise is pretty bad, and it could be enough to keep him out of Tuesday's game, which is tonight for us here. Hopefully it doesn't take him out of Tuesday's game, because I want to see him play. I'm going to tonight's game, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I definitely want him to come back.
This is your week. You are number one.
That's right. It is the first installment of Player of the Week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got 19 runs in 3 games. So pretty impressive. And our pitching was pretty not impressive. None of our starters really did an excellent job. Not enough to merit Player of the Week anyways. I'm going to give this one to Superman, Yoshio Itoi, number 7. He doesn't have the best batting average out of anybody on the team. I think that would go to Takashi Toritani, of all people. And in fact, Itoi and Toritani are the only two regular starters who did not either commit an error or a defensive blunder. So that's another reason to give it to him. By the way, Toritani, multi-hits in all 3 games. So he's looking like he's seeing the ball a lot better. He committed no errors at third base, which is also good news. He's my runner-up. Once again, Itoi, 15 plate appearances, 4-for-9, which means... you know, his other 6 plate appearances would be 4 walks, 1 hit batsman, I should say, when he got hit, and then also 1 sacrifice fly. So 4 hits, 1 of those was a double, 1 of those was a home run. He has 5 RBIs and 4 runs. He also got caught stealing once, which was kind of unfortunate, but, you know, his on-base percentage is 600. His OPS, which is on-base plus slugging, is 1.489, which obviously is unsustainable, but it is a great start to the year. So you got it, Yoshio. You got it, Yopi. It's all you. Right, for today's hot topic, I'm going to talk about something that maybe, I'm not sure how important you all find, but it is, the topic is threshold of patience, not threshold of pain, which is, it's a viable topic for guys like Itoi, and even for the mental anguish that Kanemoto might be feeling after those last 2 losses. Speaking of which, Kanemoto has taken the approach of basically calmly talking to the media about these games and not throwing the players under the bus. I applaud him for that. I mean, he can say what he wants to them behind closed doors, and we don't have to know it. As long as he's doing his job as skipper and he's doing what he thinks is best for these players and for their mental condition, I'm all for it. So yeah, he basically said we just have to, you know, put it behind us and move forward. All right, so threshold of patience. What do I mean by this? What I mean is, last year we had a whole bunch of different starting lineups. So we had guys getting pulled during games. We had guys getting farmed left, right, and center, and it seemed a little bit excessive. Mind you, as Japanese Baseball Weekly pointed out, I mean, he had a bunch of young guys and he kind of had to see like, well, what is their ability? How well can they do, you know, in different, you know, different orders in the rotation or in the batting order and so on and so forth. So after this weekend, we would say, you know, Toritani's playing time was looking like it was in jeopardy heading into the season, but he had a great start. Hojo went 0 for the weekend. He's the only Hanshin Tigers starter that did not get a hit. And then Takayama had a bunch of strikeouts and also a few errors. Haraguchi looked really shaky at first base. Umeno got some bad reviews from the press and maybe even other team scouts at catcher. So there's a lot of stuff that, you know, stood out as needing some change. Tigers change. Idomu, our slogan, right? We need to change. So how much patience should Kanemoto have with these guys? That's the question. Now, I bring it down to this. There are several things that need to be taken into consideration when it comes to deciding when you bench a player, when you farm a player, and so on and so forth. The first one, I think, really has to be age and experience. So you may have a longer leash on a player that's been with the team longer, has maybe better playing ability or a better past or whatever, where you could say, okay, well, I know that this is not his regular level of player. This is not what he's capable of. Whereas with a younger guy, you may not exactly know just yet, or you might say, hey, you know what? I think he needs more playing experience on the farm. He needs to get that playing time in, maybe in some less crucial situations, so that when it comes time to playing for all the marbles, he will be able to contribute and not make some of the gaffes that our guys made on the weekend. Salary, I guess, plays in as well. So with Toritani, right? I mean, he's making his 400 million yen per season, which is, you know, just under $4 million, which makes him the second highest paid player on the team. So you got to look at that. You're also going to look at the player's talent level. Now, like I said, with a more experienced player, you're going to have a better idea of what his floor is and what his ceiling is. And so it's a lot easier to determine then, you know, do I pull him because of those, you know, errors or because of poor play or because of slumps at the plate, or do I let him ride it out? With a younger player, you may not be able to do that, but you should be able to some degree, assess what is this player capable of? Does this player have those quality seasons behind him? Does this player have some pedigree behind his level of play that causes us to believe in him or not? By the way, if you can hear my baby crying right now, please forgive me. This is reality for T-Ray and H10 for the next season. You know, recording times and places are going to be very limited. Okay, let's continue on. Some of the other things that we need to consider is a player's physical condition. Now, this is something that as fans, people who watch on TV, or even I think as media to an extent, you know, we're not privy to a lot of this information. Do we know? I mean, maybe this player came down with the flu. Maybe he's got a really bad headache. Maybe he's got a baby and he had a sleepless night and we don't know about it. And that doesn't mean that we let him, you know, we let it ride and we say, okay, well, you know, he didn't get to sleep last night, or, you know, he's got a headache or whatever. But you do have to take it into consideration. Now, we look at the box score and we say, look, 0 for 4, 3 strikeouts, you got to bench that guy. Maybe not. Maybe he was nursing something and we don't know about it, right? So physical condition is definitely important to take into consideration. That's something maybe only the manager is capable of. The other one is mental condition, and this has got various aspects to it, one of which is, how would the player react to being benched? How would the player react to being farmed? Are they the type to take that kind of criticism or that type of demotion and make it into something better, or is it going to ruin them? Now, obviously, you know, if the player is that mentally weak, maybe he shouldn't be there in the first place, but, you know, you do have to consider how you treat your players based on how they are going to react. Also, I mean, like I said, they may not be in a good mental space heading into the game, but you start them, and then partway through the game, you pull them, and we just don't know if there's something that, you know, we don't have the information about that caused him to be pulled. I'm thinking particularly of Fumiya Hojo on Saturday, he got pulled partway through the game for Kento Itohara. So there might have been something going on there, or there might not have. But we can't say, oh, Kanemoto pulled the trigger too quick, because we don't know. We don't have all the whole story. However, you know, maybe Kanemoto saw something in Hojo, like, oh, you know what? When he's at the plate there, he just looks lost. He looks like he's not mentally checked in right now. So let's pull him before, you know, the damage gets any worse. So stuff like that. Another one, and this is looking at Hojo's Sunday at-bats in particular. The quality of the at-bats. Now, again, we look at a box score and we see an 0 for 4. And we don't know, just from the box score, what that 0 for 4 means. We might know if it meant strikeouts or fly balls or groundouts or whatever, but we don't necessarily know if, you know, if it was a full count, if he took hacks at bad pitches, if he got really good wood on it, but a spectacular play was made. All of that stuff is going to be taken into account. So quality of at-bat, not necessarily looking at the result, but looking at how the player handled the at-bat. And the same thing goes with the field. You know, when we talk about errors, we can look at a stat line and see that a guy committed two errors or had an error and say, what a doofus, he needs to get his defense together. But just an example, and this is one that, truth be told, I didn't see. But Sunday, Kosuke Fukunome committed an error. And I was reading some stuff, and some people said, oh, that's terrible. You know, the captain, he's supposed to be a great defender. And you know, he's... You know, the sickness, the error disease has been passed on him. But somebody else said, you know, the truth of the matter is he looked, or he attempted to make the play, and he happened to get his glove on it, and then the ball fell. And the result was that they charged him with an error. And so it wasn't necessarily a terrible error, but it had to be called an error. Now, Fukudome will say, no, it was an error, and I should have had it. But again, quality of play. So quality of at-bats, quality of fielding is another factor. Another one would be what kind of adjustments do they make after being coached, after the practice? So let's say, for example, a guy strikes out 3 times in one game, Takayama. And that, you know, the next day at practice, he takes some advice from the coach and he goes into batting practice and he looks like he's doesn't know what he's doing still. Well, then they're maybe going to pull him. And that makes perfect sense. On the other hand, if he takes good, you know, if he takes the advice and in batting practice in the morning or in the early afternoon, he looks great. They might say, you know what? Okay, so we'll forget about yesterday's 3-strikeout performance and we'll keep riding you. So that's another factor. Again, that's something that we're not always privy to knowing everything about, but it is something that has to be taken into consideration. Other one would be the level of contribution in other areas. So for example, if a guy had a really rough day on the field, but he compensates by hitting the game-winning RBI or by doing something great at the dish or vice versa, you know, he has a bad batting day, but he made some really great plays in the field, you're going to consider that before you decide to bench or farm a guy. So that's my rundown. Now, looking at particular players, Hojo, my advice or my take on this, and again, this is my limited information, limited knowledge, I say keep him in there. He made some better swings on Sunday. I think he still needs the vote of confidence, and he's still very young. He's still, you know, he's the same age as guys that were drafted this year out of university. So he's 22 years old. So give him some time. I know just one example that I've heard of, and I didn't follow personally because I hate the Giants, but Hayato Sakamoto, you know, he was drafted as their shortstop, and they kept him in there. Hara, their manager, kept him in there for year after year after year, mistake after mistake, and now he's Samurai Japan quality. He may not be there at age 27 or 28, whatever he is, had he not been given that vote of confidence all along. And I'm not saying Hojo is going to be that good, but he's going to be a lot better than he's been this past weekend if you keep believing in him. And that goes for fielding as well as hitting, because he did commit an error as well. Maybe even two, I forget. So that's what I say about Hojo. Takayama. This is a guy that, yeah, he struck out a lot. He got on base, you know, at a reasonable clip. He actually walked, I think. Yeah, he walked just like everybody else on Saturday. But he got on base at a decent clip. I say keep him in there, but I would also say this, that, you know, we have so many options in the outfield, particularly at the end of games. If it's a tight game and if we need, you know, that extra boost on defense, then you got to pull him. You got to say, okay, well, we got to sacrifice your bat a little bit for some solid defense at the end of the game when it matters most. Because, yeah, Takayama's fielding is definitely way below par. It may be the worst in the Central League at this point. Again, it's very young in his career, though. Toritani, again, there's not much to talk about because he has been so strong so far, you know, with six hits and a couple of RBIs and no errors, some really clean fielding. He hasn't had to make any spectacular plays, but the key is when you make the ordinary plays, then all the rest is gravy. So obviously you can keep him in. It looks like he is going to break Kanemoto's Ironman streak, that being the, he's not going to break the streak. He's going to surpass Kanemoto on the all-time list for Ironman. The top guy is still a former Hiroshima Carp named Sachio Kinugasa. But second on the list right now is Kanemoto. However, Toritani, unless he misses a game between now and the 12th game from now, he will be breaking that record at the end of or middle or end of April. Not breaking the record, pardon me, moving into second spot. Also, Toritani is just maybe about 122 hits away from reaching 2,000 on his career. That would put him into the Meikyu Kai, which is kind of the, it's not the Hall of Fame, it's kind of the, it's the good baseball player club, we'll put it that way. Haraguchi has been really shaky at first base, and, you know, I didn't like their decision to convert him at the start of March, but they did it anyways. Told you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Personally, though, I would say, you know, we got to keep him in for now. He's been pretty good at the dish, so he has compensated for it. But also, I would say, you know, when Eric Campbell comes back, if Toritani keeps, you know, swinging the stick well and keeps playing well in defense, maybe Campbell is going to be the guy to replace Haraguchi at first, and maybe Gooch will have to, you know, fight a little bit more for playing time at catcher. Speaking of which, of course, Umeno has not been awesome at catcher. He hasn't been terrible, but I've read reports that maybe he's not calling a very good game. And, you know, obviously when your pitchers are not finding the strike zone, you got to do something about it. And I don't know if Umeno really was calling a game that was catering to what strengths they had left. Anyhow, that's my take. That's what I say about this week's hot topic. What do you all think? When is the best timing to pull, to bench, to farm Hojo, Takayama, Toritani, Haraguchi, Umeno, or anybody else that is not up to par? Let's move into our first predictions of this podcasting season. We did not predict the opening weekend, although I think I'd said that, you know, one out of three would be good, two out of three would be amazing, and three out of three would be impossible. And in fact, one out of three happened. So I wouldn't say I'm satisfied, especially when I saw how we could have done on Saturday. But one out of three, if someone had told me that before the series had started, I would have said, okay, let's take it and move on. So there you have it. So as I said, this week we are actually hosting six games, and I'll be at the first one, which is going to be taking place in about 4 hours now from the time I'm recording. We are hosting the Yakult Swallows at Kyocera Dome in Osaka because the field at Koshien is still being prepared for the Tigers. And we will move back to Koshien for the weekend for three against the Yomiuri Giants. Now, the good news for us is that I believe the Swallows already used their quote-unquote ace, that being Ogawa. I think he pitched on Saturday. I could be wrong. And the Giants are using Sugano today. So we won't be facing either of them. I think we will be facing Miles Michaelis on Friday. But we'll get to that later. I'm going to say that we take two out of three from each of these. They're both home series. I really think that the defense is going to turn things around. I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, an iron curtain or anything like that. They will commit some errors, but it's not going to be eight in a three-game series like we had this past weekend. It's going to be a lot better. So, yeah, hopefully we go 4-2 this week. What do y'all think? Couple of announcements before we wrap things up here. The first one, of course, as I've said, I'm going to be at tonight's game, and I'll be there with Jimbo. If you remember Jimbo from last year, he did the Fantasy Tigers League with me, and he has actually jumped right back down the rabbit hole with me because we are playing fantasy baseball again. This one with the man who is running the Hanshin Tigers Francais page, Arnaud. He gave us his predictions last week for the Central League. So he's running the Fantasy League. It's five of us, and we drafted all across the Nippon Pro Baseball. So Central League and Pacific League, And the rules and everything, it's all written up on the website. If I remember to do so, I will put this in the show notes so you can check out what the fantasy baseball looks like this year. Speaking of Arnaud, actually he will be in Japan at the start of May. We'll be going to a game together on May the 6th. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. By the way, also, I will be at tonight's game. I won't be sitting with, but hopefully I will be meeting up with Aaron, who also did a prediction on last week's show. So it's really cool. It's been fun to be able to meet some of you Hanshin fans out there. If I did not mention this last week, I did meet up with another guy. We went to the Hanshin Museum, Koshien Museum, I should say, and also we went to a farm game down at Naruohama. His name is Tim. He took some of the pictures that you may have seen in the series recap of the Hiroshima games, and that's also available on the website. So yeah, if you're going to be in town, hit me up, send me an email, drop me a line and just let me know. And you know, I can't guarantee that I can be there and meet you and hang out with you or go to a game or whatever, but you never know. And it would be a lot of fun. I love meeting other Hanshin Tigers fans and just talking baseball with all of you. So the email address is thehanshintigers@gmail.com. All right. One more thing. Hopefully, I will be having a guest on next week's podcast. That's right. Finally lined somebody up that is excited to talk Tigers with me. And so it won't just be the old boring T-Ray voice moving forward, hopefully. Okay? Thanks once again for your time and your passion for the Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in the four magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends and enemies. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. Just search for Hanshin Tigers English News. We're up past 400 followers now. That's great. Follow T-Ray on Twitter, @TheHanshinTiger. Until next time, keep cheering for Hanshin until the walk totals go down, the errors go down, and the wins pile up. Have a great week, everyone.